At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, we're having a lot of fun here on a Thursday on the Can you just say that again for all the people? We're talking about Conference Championship Sunday. We'll talk about NFL head coaching hires in just a second. But on the desk of Pro Football Today, we've got two birds backers in Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside from regional Philadelphia. And then you've got Joe Lisi, who has always been a believer in the Heisman winner at LSU, Jaden Daniels. What are some of the stakes for Sunday in Philadelphia?
Yeah, well, number one, we've already threatened Joe Lisi that he might not appear on Pro Football Today on Sunday. We already laid that down where we can't be too optimistic on the opposite side with the stakes this high. Right. But also, sometimes we like to have story time here on the desk. One of the best stories I ever heard is, like, Joe Lisi is his name. So, you know, he talked to me, hey, Joe Lisi, you know, named after whoever. But he had a funny story that said one time he was going to get a job and handed in his job application. The receptionist called him up and said, that's a great name, Joe Lisi. I think I'm going to name my daughter or my son Joe Lisi. And he goes, no. It's two words. It's Joe Lisi. Oh, but I like the name Joe Lisi. So there you go. Little background on Joe Lisi of how his name appears. And then we're going to rise the stakes this Sunday. Should the Eagles beat the Commanders, Joe Lisi's name on the network is just Joe Lisi from here on out. How about that? You like that? I think that could work. Like, I have a handle, like Donnie Wrightside. How about just one word, Joe Lisi? That's it.
Perfect. Hold on a second. Did he not space out the name enough?
He must not.
He wrote on the album.
Because the receptionist loved the name. He goes, ooh, Joe Lisi. And he's like, no, my name's Joe Lisi. And like, still doesn't matter. I like the name Joe Lisi. There you go. Some kid out there right now is named Joe Lisi as the first name. That's it. That's probably factual.
Oh, I never heard this story before in my
life. Great story. Oh,
actual,
we'll tell it.
Tears. Yep. Tears coming out of my...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
See that? Hits you that right before we come into the break.
I might need a second. You might need to intro the poll, brother. Yeah. God.
All right, here's the poll here at Sports Grid Network. We'd like to ask the public out here who they want to fade. And that question is, so far, which NFL head coach hire has been the best? Run the stinger if you want to. What? Run the stinger. There, stinger. Did you like that?
It's time for Fade the Public.
Wow. Wow.
What is happening?
Look at that.
What,
you know what, I was actually thinking,
right,
like, we usually hear it. I was like, did we actually hear that? But no, we used to hear it, but now we have the true words of a genius behind there. Is he getting royalties for that, by the way?
What is that?
It's got to be Joe Lisi. Play it again. Let's hear it.
It's time for Fade the Public.
Now, how many takes? How many takes was that? It couldn't have been one take. Oh, wow. I'm surprised. Yeah.
From Joe Lisi. Jolisi. Yep. How are we saying it? Jolisi? It's like the inflection there.
Correct. Yes.
Jolisi.
Yeah,
I like it. Okay. So I just got to ask, and Friezo, you can, you know, speak to us behind the scenes. That was planned before we started telling the Jolisi story. Pretty that good. He was going to do. I mean, you talk about serendipitous. That is beautiful, beautiful stuff. So as we go to Sports Grid on Twitter, so far, which NFL head coaching hire has been the best? 7 vacancies at some stage of this offseason. 3 have now been filled after Aaron Glenn hired yesterday by the New York Jets. Mike Vrabel for the Patriots, Ben Johnson for the Bears, or Aaron Glenn in New York. Donnie, I don't even think it's who's winning this poll, which is Mike Vrabel. Interesting in itself that Vrabel has edged out Ben Johnson with the Bears. Man, the public either does not think all that optimistically about Aaron Glenn. I don't even think it's that on the former Detroit DC. I just think it's the Jets and how they structure their franchise each and every time. 8.4% of the vote. That is it. Thinking Aaron Glenn might be the best head coaching hire so far.
Yeah, we should add, you know, Aaron Glenn on this one. This year. It's like, well, they don't really think I'm a great hire at this point, which I do think is quality. But is this just like Detroit, the Detroit fan base showing up here and just voting against everything that has Detroit? Like,
maybe.
They probably hate Ben Johnson going to the Bears. We got to vote Vrabel. No, we can't give it to Aaron Glenn. He left. We got to go Vrabel. So I'm thinking that 50.5 is 1% Patriots fans and 49% Detroit Lions fans just angry right now that Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn have absolutely left the building. But to be honest, if it isn't that, and I'm being facetious, I'm really surprised that Ben Johnson isn't leading this poll. Mike Vrabel is. The Vrabel hire, certainly to the Patriots. I think it makes a lot of sense. But I just think that you say, like, who is the prize possession going to a place where he can really institute what he likes to do, which is run an offense? I'm surprised Ben Johnson is in second place with about 41% of that vote.
Me as well, DRS, because Mike Vrabel is consistent. Mike Vrabel was incredibly successful in his 6 years in Nashville. Mike Vrabel had a winning record over the span of those 6 seasons. So it makes sense to go with the guy that is proven as a head coach in an organization, of course, that he knows very well. A lot of people thought, and I think were surprised, that Vrabel was canned last year by the Titans and think of him as a highly successful head coach. So it makes sense, but it's not exactly the snazziest or most innovative or creative hire to bring Vrabel to New England. Of course, it was the first one done. It probably was done behind the scenes entering week 16 of this NFL season. I think Ben Johnson was the name as the hottest candidate in this head coaching cycle that everybody thought wherever he ended up, that would probably be the, hey, that's the best hire. That's an A+. That's an A at bare minimum. I wonder if that has to do so much with Ben Johnson or more so Caleb Williams and some questions in Chicago. Again, I think we have tried to do our best to dispel the idea that Williams was the issue for Chicago this past season. It got my vote as well, Ben Johnson with the Bears, because not only do I believe in Ben Johnson about to become a successful first-year head coach, albeit with the inexperience at this level right now, but I believe in what his offensive scheme is going to mean for a talented Bears team right away.
Yeah, I think the upside, too, like if you change it, which NFL coach has the highest upside with his team? It's got to be Ben Johnson, because you're looking at an offense that was really bad last year, and the upside is they're going to be a better offense, and they will. But if you are looking for, let's just say this poll has changed to safest option to pick as a head coach, it might be Mike Vrabel going back to New England. The last thing I can think of is like 2 to 3 years, you're firing Vrabel because you couldn't get more than 6 wins. And that is a terribly bad, poor front office, which gave him not a lot of talent to work with outside of what you think is going to be a franchise quarterback. You're thinking he can bring that hard-nosed mentality, the same thing Aaron Glenn is supposed to bring from Detroit over to the Jets to sort of turn it around. So different ways you can read that poll, but we didn't ask all that stuff. We just asked which is the best overall coaching hire, which I am slightly surprised that it turned out to be Mike Vrabel.
Patriots have the 4th overall pick. The Pats have more than $130 million in cap space this offseason to bolster that roster around Drake May for Mike Vrabel to have success. Of course, he has hired Josh McDaniels to bring him back as the OC in Foxborough and Terrell Williams, Detroit defensive line coach, who is now gone. Donnie, to your point, did Lions fans flood this poll and vote for Vrabel in front of their 2 former guys? maybe they have not taken exactly kindly, at least to Ben Johnson going to divisional foe in Chicago. And I shared this with our TEL group chat yesterday, that the Detroit Lions have not had a coordinator hired as a head coach of another team since John F. Kennedy was president. That's a long, long time. That means they've had coordinators leave and maybe be fired or go somewhere else, but not a promotion at a different organization. It is a first for the Lions. This naturally follows success. Both Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, now head coaches. We'll talk about conference championship weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get you ready for conference championship weekend in the National Football League. We will start with the marquee matchup on Sunday evening inside Arrowhead Stadium between the Chiefs and the Bills. Donnie, of course, we have made note of the many times these two teams have faced off against one another in the last five NFL seasons, here in similar spots in playoff football. 2020 AFC Championship game in Arrowhead. 2021 divisional round in Arrowhead. Last year in the divisional round in Western New York, and now back inside Arrowhead Stadium in the AFC Championship game for the 2024 campaign. And let's go right to the numbers. 34 cents of difference. That is it on the money line. For KC, minus 126. The Bills, a very slight dog in Kansas City, plus 108. Donnie, it's almost a similar question to Buffalo getting ready to host its own divisional round matchup last weekend against Baltimore. At this stage, I asked you, do you agree with the odds or do you give the edge to the other side? When you look at how close the numbers are on the money line, who gets the edge in your mind entering the AFC title game?
It's simple for me, and I understand this. We just had Mark Zinno on. I'm saying to myself, like, I am actually rooting for the Buffalo Bills, not because it's saying, okay, I think the Eagles match up better with the Bills or Kansas City, but just from a fan perspective and a content perspective. We do a lot of Super Bowls around here, and it's just boring talking about the same things and the same matchups, and one team always gets there. The Buffalo Bills are a fun story. There'd be nothing better than the Buffalo Bills going into Kansas City and vanquishing those playoff demons and moving on to a Super Bowl, something we haven't seen for the Buffalo Bills since the early 1990s. When they lost four straight Super Bowls. It's a great fan base. They'll be passionate. They'll show out in New Orleans, no doubt about it. But from a money perspective, I got to be honest. Like, I'm surprised that 70% of the betting public, at least at the FanDuel Sportsbook, is lining up ticket-wise just to take the Buffalo Bills. We're not knocking the Bills, Ben. We're not saying they don't deserve to be. They absolutely do. They beat one of the most talented teams in football last week and moved on to face the Kansas City Chiefs. But it once again gets down to this compelling notion. We're not looking at the Chiefs going like, ooh, I wonder if that ankle is healthy from Holmes. He's 100% healthy. You gave Travis Kelce a couple weeks off. He looks rejuvenated, as good as ever, catching the football and run after the catch. You take a look at the offensive line that's shifting around players from guard to tackle when it's worked out, and a defense that's one of the best in the NFL with a great defensive coordinator. And then the other opportunity as well, you can't take Kansas City, Ben, at 8.5 points at home. You know they're probably going to win but not cover. And then you go, wait a second. You're just asking Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs to win a football game by a field goal at home, and you move on and cash a ticket? How do you actually pass that up based on what we've seen?
Yeah. Donnie, I think it's a great point, right? 0-6 now officially against the number, closing as a 9.5-point favorite against Houston last weekend as a touchdown favorite or greater. You're not asking Kansas City to win by a touchdown. Frankly, the best bet if you're going to approach the Chiefs is just eat a little bit of chalk on minus 126 on the money line and simply ask KC to win an AFC championship game. Something they have done four times in the last 6 years. Something Buffalo has not, with Josh Allen under center in the direct head-to-head matchup against Kansas City. We have stressed it before, but it does bear repeating. This will be the fourth matchup in the last 5 years in the postseason. We have seen some great games between these two, but the most lopsided was the 2020 AFC Championship game. Both teams are widely different. Both quarterbacks have experienced so much since then. But it was a 38-24 win for KC. In fact, not only are the Chiefs perfect 3-0 straight up against Buffalo in the postseason, they are also perfect against the number. Now let's talk about that total, DRS. 47.5. Knowing what we have seen out of Kansas City this year, natural thought would be, hey, the Chiefs are even going to win this football game by a point. They probably make it a little bit uglier. It's probably not the shootout we saw between these two in the divisional round back in the 2021 NFL postseason. Kansas City probably wins this game 21-17 and really grinds it out on the defensive side of the football. Just how much scoring do you anticipate, DRS, for Sunday night?
I do think we get scoring here, because the one thing that we have to understand is Kansas City will be happy to replicate the way you want to play and beat you doing that. You want to get high scoring, Kansas City can score points. But theoretically, say, well, they didn't have to do that much this year because their defense has been so good. And I say this, like, if Buffalo can get out to a lead in Kansas City, is anybody turning the TV off if Buffalo is down, or excuse me, if Kansas City is down 17-7 at the break? Oh, they can't come back for that. Like, no, we've seen times in the past, particularly as I talked about that Houston Texans game earlier in the playoffs a couple years ago, where they were down 3 touchdowns in the first half and had the lead by the half. It's what they do. They're talented enough to come back. But having said that, Buffalo isn't that team where you're going to just say coming into it, we're going to hold down that offense. We're going to play great defense, get first downs, eat the clock, and make the plays that we need to. Because dating back to the Jets game early in the season, they scored 23 points. After that, 34, 31, 30, 30, 30, 35, 42, 48, 24, and 40. Yeah. And you remove the final game against the Patriots where they scored 16 points with their backups. So if you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, you see those team totals. I find it very difficult to say to myself that the Buffalo Bills 23.5, whether they win or lose, they're probably going to cross that number. They're talented. They don't care what defense you're playing. Josh can get after it in the air, on the ground. They have a talented running back that can hit home runs, and they have opportunistic wide receivers and a solid set of tight ends. So when we're looking at points, as I said earlier in the week, I want to believe this game goes over, because I don't think the MO for the Buffalo Bills is let's just keep them hanging around at this point. You know, must stay aggressive, but they're known, Ben, for scoring mid-20s and higher every single game. What's to be the determination where they can't do that in this game? We should get points.
And something says to me, Donnie, right? The Chiefs this year have not been overly impressive. They have not been dominant offensively. Even last week in the victory against the Texans, it wasn't crisp on the offensive side outside of Mahomes, really just to Travis Kelce. I think KC answers the bell offensively, and I think Patrick Mahomes does as well. 249.5 is the passing yards prop for Mahomes. Of course, this will be the seventh consecutive year that Kansas City has played in an AFC championship game. In the previous six, last year was his lowest passing total, 241. It was also the only year, Donnie, he did not throw for at least 294 yards in multiple passing scores. The best bet that I have made already for the AFC championship game is Mahomes over 249.5. I think he matches the occasion and the atmosphere on Sunday night in Arrowhead. A closing thought on the AFC Championship game before we get to Philadelphia and the NFC title game next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We preview Conference Championship Sunday. One final thought on the quarterback comparison that will have all the eyes, DRS, in Arrowhead. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. The Bills, Josh Allen. I mentioned I'm going over 249.5 for Mahomes' passing yards prop. I know it has not been illustrious at times this season offensively for KC. This, the most significant stage. And until I see it happen, I'm not believing Mahomes bows out just yet. But Josh Allen, in the prior three matchups against KC in their playoff lives together, has gone well over that rushing yards prop, at least 68 yards, utilizing his legs on the ground in the three previous tilts against Kansas City.
Yeah, no, and it's a good look there because Patrick Mahomes obviously will be a catalyst. That running game, not as explosive as we saw in the past. Like when Isaiah Pacheco first hit the ground running for Kansas City, wow, found their guy that can be a short yardage guy, can make long runs. Those injuries have really slowed him down. So when you look at the touchdown market, throwing over 1.5 makes sense for Mahomes. But also keep in mind, the touchdown market combined for this game, you get 47.5 points. So you just sound like, ooh, there's going to be a lot of high-priced guys if you wanted them to just find pay dirt on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yesterday, Josh Allen is actually a plus 100 for an anytime touchdown. Love that. Today, he's minus 105, but he's the highest juice player in this game at minus 105 for a total near 50 points. You're going to be able to find some value going down that board.
Yeah.
Because if we're expecting, let's just say, three touchdowns each, that's six total touchdowns, and the highest price on the board is minus 105, there could be some good value on that for Sunday.
Two rushing touchdowns for Josh against Baltimore last weekend. Two rushing touchdowns for Josh last year in the matchup in the divisional round against Kansas City. 60% of the money or 60% of the bets on the spread backing Buffalo right now. But basically, of course, as we know, it is near a pick 'em. 70% of the bets on the spread for the NFC Championship game first up on Sunday on Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. So tell me, DRS, when the line opened on Sunday evening at 4.5 in favor of the Birds, and we're getting 70% of the action on Washington, why is this line now near a touchdown in favor of Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's pretty wild the way you look at it because the Eagles are a good ball club. They didn't wind up in this position by getting lucky late in the season. Like, they've been very good. The number one overall defense in the NFL. You take a look at Jalen Hurts. Has he been underwhelming in the passing game? Yes, but he's learned not to turn the football over. And every time you hand off, it feels like every four carries is a home run hit by running back Saquon Barkley. But the one thing I do understand about handicapping and gambling is there's odds makers and there's the betting public. Because opening that line at 4.5, I thought showed a lot of respect for Washington. And the thought process behind that was maybe we're not going to get a healthy enough Jalen Hurts to play next week to be effective. As you still see at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 70% of the tickets still coming in on the Washington Commanders. And that line moves up 2 full points, which should give you pause if you're a Washington backer. Now, me being around the block, that is an Eagles line, no doubt about it. Am I running to the window to take the 6.5 today as I'm so excited to do that? Not necessarily, but understand the products of their environment. Everybody expected a great punch from the Green Bay Packers. Eagles handled their business. And outside of a collapse over the final 2 minutes to get almost two touchdowns for the Rams, the Eagles were double digits there for the primary parts of that second half. And still, they were favored by 6, 6.5, and pushed and or covered, depending on when you got those numbers earlier in the week.
Right.
So the Eagles are expected to win. They're the better football team. But again, I'm not overly excited at saying, yes, let me lay close to a touchdown in this game.
Same exact total, DRS, for our two championship matchups. 47 and a hook for both, including here, of course, at the link. How much scoring do we see on Sunday in Philly?
47.5, you should say it's going over. Washington's offense has been red hot. They can get after it. But the one thing we understand, 5 turnovers helped a lot of points being gained for Washington this past weekend. The Eagles don't turn the football over. It's going to be much harder to do that. So I'm going to have a propensity in this one to say I probably lean towards under 47.5 because I think that clock is going to be churning and Saquon Barkley and Eagles offensive line, outside of hitting 70-yard home runs, they should rule the day here. If you're looking at 25-plus carries for Saquon Barkley and he's just doing his average, let's just say 5 yards per carry, that's going to be a lot of first downs and a lot of time off that clock, Ben.
Donnie, as we always say, right, the natural handicapping approach to a big favorite, in this case in a conference championship game, laying near a touchdown, you need points available. You need scoring to be higher. If Philly is going to win by a touchdown, you should see as many points as possible. But I actually think it's the opposite. If the Birds handle this game, they handle Jaden Daniels and that Commanders offense, and it stays under the number of 47 and a hook. We'll dive deeper into those quarterback numbers from the prop perspective, getting you ready for conference championship weekend with TV Tom Beckman. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No one better than to set the stage for Conference Championship Sunday in the NFL from that prop perspective than TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid live right here on Sports Grid on this Thursday on the early line. Still early in the week, Tom, before a ton of the betting public will come in and fluctuate these numbers that we will see. So we love the early approach to what we have from the prop perspective for Conference Championship weekend. Let's dive right in.
Yeah, let's get to it. We have a ton to get through. Obviously, I was here on Tuesday. Ben, you weren't here, and we were talking through some of those player props. Some of those lines have already moved. So it obviously, like you said, it's good to be on things early. And you know, it's also important to note how these teams are going to play, because I think I have a very specific approach for how I think Buffalo will try and come away with this win, and it's probably not turning this game into a shootout.
Which is interesting, Tom, because when you look at the numbers for that AFC Championship game in Arrowhead, it is basically a pick'em, about 34 cents of difference on the money line and a total of 47.5. So you see those numbers in Buffalo trying to exercise the demon of their playoff nemesis being the Chiefs at this time of year. How do you expect the game to look if the Bills are hunting that upset?
Oh, I'm feeling like a 23-20 kind of game, 24-23. I think we're going to be super close to the number. You know, a 23-20 final could be a Mahomes drive that leads them to kicking a field goal to win the game and break the tie. And ultimately, like, how do the Bills prevent that? Because we always have this conversation about, like, oh, our team's playing to win. Are they playing not to lose? Like, the Bills don't want to put the ball in Mahomes' hands as often as possible. And how do you do that? I honestly think it's through the running game. And, you know, Josh Allen was okay last week. Let's just call it what it was. So I think the three-headed backfield that they have with Cook, Johnson, and Ray Davis for the Bills, I think they're all going to see a good amount of work. So I'm not sure I love Cook to have a massive game on the ground. I actually think it's going to be a very balanced backfield. And keeping the ball out of Mahomes' hand late is how the Bills will come away with the victory. That's if they – I don't have a strong take either side. Anyone who says they have a strong take either side is lying to themselves and lying to you guys. Mm-hmm. I think we're in for a one-possession game, and it's going to be determined in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. And if the Bills were to come away with the win, it's keeping the ball out of Mahomes' hands with the running game.
Exactly. Better be taking knees at the end of the football game, not giving 16 seconds or so back over to the Chiefs to try to beat you or send you into overtime. Let's take a look at that quarterback matchup. None really better. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen squared up here. The total's coming in on Patrick Mahomes at 249.5 and Josh Allen at 230.5 for his passing yards. And then the touchdown props, wildly different here. To throw two touchdowns for Mahomes, that's a minus 154 price. For Josh Allen, it's plus 136. How are we playing the quarterbacks on Sunday, Tom?
I think it's reasonable to play Mahomes under 36.5 passing attempts. I specifically like that. I also don't mind Mahomes over on the rushing, as he apparently rushes every single playoff game he's ever been in, constantly scrambling and getting those yards. Allen is tough. It is really tough considering, you know, last week failing to get to 150 combined yards. I don't know how we look to 230 passing yards alone. And also, if he were to get 230 passing yards, probably means that they're playing from behind. And at that point, the Chiefs' money line would probably be the best bet. If he has to push for 250 passing yards, things probably didn't go the way the Bills would want things to go. Like, this, the script got out of control, and we're looking back at that overtime game they had a couple years ago where it's like 40-35, whatever the final score was for that thing, where they're both throwing three or four touchdowns. I don't think the Bills want to have Josh Allen throwing the ball for 250 yards. It's not to say that he can't do it. I just don't think that's the game plan for this week.
Not a great yardage output for Josh Allen against Baltimore, but did find pay dirt twice. Now let's go to the NFC Championship game. Same total as the AFC title game at 47.5, but a very different spread. It's very close. For the AFC Championship, it's nearly a touchdown now in favor of Philadelphia. Tom, in terms of the numbers dictating the game flow of what we are going to see at Lincoln Financial Field, how does this game differ in your mind?
Not only the game flow, but I have concerns with Brian Robinson for Washington. He's been okay, like this year, like, and especially as of late. I know he broke off a couple of big runs last week, but he was not good versus Tampa on the ground. So if he's been okay, and I just personally just don't have a lot of confidence in him, Austin Eckler's continuing to get involved, and they're going to be playing from behind. What does that turn to for Washington? It's probably turning to Washington, moving the ball effectively through the air, whether it's Terry McLaurin, whether it's De'Ami Brown, but ultimately that comes down to Daniels, because we know that he's going to be spreading it around. Like Zach Ertz is, you know, being involved, especially the second half of the season to close the year. He was very good. So I think turning to Jaden Daniels over 21 and a half completions is my favorite bet for probably this entire weekend. This is what they've done the entire season. Cliff Kingsbury and the offense move the ball effectively. You know, he has to scramble the pocket, whatever it might be, get completions, pick up first downs, limit mistakes for Daniels. He's been awesome at it this year. The completion percentage was through the roof, especially for the first portion of the season. So picking up completions and effectively moving the ball down the field, whether it turns into points and they go for it on fourth down, they don't convert, wherever it might be, but picking up first downs and sustaining drives will be the winning recipe if the Commanders keep it close. I don't think they win this game, but they will keep it at least somewhat close.
All right, looks like we have to book Tom Becchio again for tomorrow's Football Friday because apparently he's on the right side here of this Philadelphia Eagles game. But Sundays are for Saquon. Some of these numbers, Tom, outrageous it feels like. You look at the carries prop in modern-day NFL, 24.5. You take a look at the rushing prop, which at FanDuel is 125.5. Other outlets, Tom, closer to 130. You look at the receiving yards, 12.5. You're looking for probably just one reception. But the touchdown prop, minus 250 is way. How do you approach taking Saquon Barkley this weekend, or is it just not enough value left in some of these numbers?
There's probably not a lot of value left in a lot of these numbers, but there's one spot to go, and it wasn't listed there, and it's going to be Saquon over longest rushing attempt, which I believe is 21.5 or 20.5, 22.5. It's somewhere around there. Last week it was 19.5. I expected it to move up. It is. How many times have we said it? Donnie, obviously, Kevin always talking about it, the home run potential from Saquon. That's what we see literally every week. And it's not just like, oh, he breaks off like a 25-yard carry or a 30-yard carry. It's like 60 or 70 yards. So if you don't want to play the 130 rushing yards, I get it. You don't want to play the combined, I get it, the carries. The over longest rush, he can do that at any time.
And you would think if he gets close to a buck 25 on the ground, there will be a bunch, if not at least one, big plays running the football. Let's talk about Jaden Daniels, who you mentioned your favorite bet, over 21.5 completions, and Jalen Hurts. I do want to focus on the Birds QB, of course, dealing with the ailing and injured left knee. And Becchio, despite his team being nearly a touchdown favorite to win a conference championship and appear in a second Super Bowl in the last 3 years, those numbers on Jalen Hurts, more than likely because of the injury issue, are drastically low. How will you approach betting Jalen Hurts entering Sunday, or do you wait until we get to kick Sunday to see exactly how he looks in the game?
There's only one spot that I would go with Hurts this week, and this is just like if you want to have action on Hurts, whatever it might be. I understand like alting him down and putting him into some SGP, which you know I'm not super fond of, but I think it has to be passing touchdowns because I'm not laying the juice for Saquon. I do expect the Eagles to win and score points. If he has this knee issue, will there be a few lesser chances for him to have a tush push? They're just not going to put him in that position, and then it'll just be a passing touchdown here or there. So the passing touchdown prop for Hurts may be the best way to go. Okay, I think the Eagles win. I maybe don't want to lay 6.5 points, and I'm not going to lay the juice with Saquon, but we know that Hurts can have the passing touchdowns to a Goddard, to an A.J. Brown.
So those are the quarterback comparisons, and Tom, let's make sure before we send you off into the weekend here on the early line, we get all of those top props. Run through them quickly if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, Keon Coleman, just don't expect him to play a huge role for the Bills in the passing game. Under 23.5 receiving yards, that line has moved to 20. Marquise Brown, under 3.5 receptions. He needs to have at least 6 targets, 7 targets to get to 4, which I don't expect to happen. Just give him the snap count that he has an overall target share. And then turning to Daniels, I do think he will be in for a solid game. The rush can certainly be there if they are playing from behind. Also for tonight, on the ice, Andrei Svechnikov for the Carolina Hurricanes, over 2.5 shots on goal, leads the team with 133. Going up against the Blue Jackets on the second night of a back-to-back since start January. The Canes lead the league in total shot attempts, and the Blue Jackets are the 6th most shot attempts allowed per 6 minutes in 5-on-5 situations. And in NBA, PJ Washington over 14.5 points.
The jack of all trades, the prompt perspective with TV Tom Becchio. None better. Tom, thank you so much. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A robust Thursday slate around the association that we preview for you now, and in fact, not just a large one, an international one on this Thursday that tips off early here stateside. A little bit after 2 p.m. Eastern time, the Indiana Pacers and the San Antonio Spurs from Paris. Yes, to Paris we go, where Victor Wembanyama, of course, will be involved in the showcase back in his home country to really welcome in the international series in the NBA. 3-point spread in favor of the Pacers. Over-under stands at 230. DRS, what do you expect for this game played over in Paris?
A lot of pageantry, but also you have to understand the fact of the matter is, like, Wembanyama is the showpiece. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going to win the game, but does he want to put on a good show? Absolutely. But you look at the total, 229 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the opening number here in New Jersey. That's now up to 230. When you play in these neutral court environments for both teams, and they're not, hey, well, Wembanyama used to play, yeah, that was a couple years ago, he used to play in France. They're not used to this time zone or this space at this point. I usually automatically lend myself to betting an under in this game is where we'll start. Pacers favored by 3, maybe the better basketball team, but there certainly is no home court advantage for either side here at this point. I would lean under in this environment.
Yeah, 230 is a pretty lofty number. You would expect the pace to be up. It should be high scoring for the Paris crowd, but it's also a new arena with different sight lines. These two will play once again on Saturday in Paris. Got to make the European adventure worth it. DRS, Indiana playing a lot better basketball as of late after a slow start to this season. Now 5 games above 500, 24-19, victorious in 8 of their previous 10. It still hasn't been an overly successful season for San Antonio. Losers of 3 in a row, and now 3 games sub 500 at 19-22. So that is 41 total games this year for the Spurs, directly at their midway point. They've been booked as an underdog in the majority, 26-41, but not overwhelmingly so. 12-14 against the spread as a dog. They are catching 3 points. We mentioned Wemby as the showcase back in his homeland. And the props expect him to have a big day in front of what should be a favorable crowd. 27.5 for his points prop. 11.5 rebounding prop. Over has the juice as it does for 3.5 blocks. How big of a day will the big man have in front of that Paris crowd?
You can't guarantee points because you're going to have an off-night shooting. But the one thing you can guarantee is he's going to be amped up. So you look at that rebound number, 11.5. I tend to go over there. Same thing with the blocks at 3.5. He is going to be active up and down this court. You just can't guarantee the points. If you sit down, do you think he's going to get 28 points or more? Probably so. But betting-wise, I'd rather take the rebounds and also the blocks more than the points because that's just hustle plays from a guy that's bigger than everybody on the court.
DRS, I mentioned how Indiana has won 8 of their last 10. They have covered in all 8 of those victories. We often think of the Pacers as living up to their name in playing with tempo and scoring a ton. A lot of their totals early in the year and last season, 235, 240 plus, actually under now in 8 of those last 10 games as well. Let's get to a historic rivalry in the NBA that doesn't quite have that juice anymore. Second leg of a back-to-back for the Celtics on the road in Los Angeles. A change of venue now in downtown LA as they take on the Lakers at Crypto.com Arena. Lakers a 5-point home dog, total at 219. The Celtics, second leg of a back-to-back, DRS, did go to overtime last night to beat the Clippers 117-113. LA did cover as a 12-point dog. I've talked about how the Celtics favored in 42 of 44 games, only 17-24-1 against the number now. A double-digit dog in 29 of those 42 booked as the favorite. How close is tonight between the Lakers and the Seas?
Yeah, Celtics won last night, missing a couple starters themselves, but also multiple starters for the Clippers here. Still a nice win, but they are on a back-to-back. As we said, different arenas, but the same city. The Lakers have been resting and waiting for them. There were 5.5s across the marketplace this morning. They're all now gone, including the FanDuel Sportsbook now, showing the -5. There are 4.5 starting to creep in. I tend to take the Lakers. I always like spots where a team isn't as rested as the other one, home court. And you know the Lakers, not the greatest team this season, but there are times that they can rise to the occasion, as long as Anthony Davis and LeBron James are rested and ready, we should get a pretty good outcome. And quite frankly, you don't even necessarily have to win that game. I'll take the Lakers and the points tonight at home in Crypto.com Arena.
Still fifth best record right now for LeBron and the Lake Show at 23-18 in the Western Conference. They've only been a dog 18 times this year. They are even. 9-9 against the spread in terms of that six outright victories. Milwaukee was postponed in their game yesterday in New Orleans because of snow. The Bucks were probably like, all right, man, a little bit of snow, whatever. The Bucks back at home tonight hosting the Miami Heat, who, of course, will be without Jimmy Butler. 7-point spread in favor of the Bucks. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I like the Pelicans yesterday getting the points, but obviously that game was canceled. I'm going to assume, though, Milwaukee was in town for that game, and it wasn't that Milwaukee couldn't get to the arena. Mm-hmm. It's that they weren't comfortable with fans, and it would be a big mess down there. So I'm assuming they went to New Orleans and flew back. So it's not as if they're like, you know what, we just went home and there was no big deal at this point. But they didn't play last night, which is a key indicator, and I always love this. Like, I don't think there's a galvanizing notion to the Miami Heat until Jimmy Butler is gone. Yeah. Now, he's suspended. He's not going to play in that game. That's one thing. But they're just waiting for the shoe to drop to try to move on. That's a great chance for me where the Bucks just absolutely splash them at home by double digits tonight.
Yeah, I would agree. 2-8 start to this year for Milwaukee before they got going in the NBA in-season competition. Won the NBA Cup, now 24-17. Mm-hmm. Winners of 7 of their last 8, 4 in a row. Covering, by the way, in all 4 of those wins. Yeah. Over in 6 straight. I think it's a big day for Milwaukee. I would even keep an eye on that total for them really to pace the Heat. 9-game slate around the NBA tonight. Of course, that starts early over in Paris. 2:10 p.m. Eastern time. The tip between Indiana and San Antonio. DRS, I'm going to miss you on the other side of the break. Hold on, actually, before we go. A couple of best bets.
Yes.
You mentioned some team totals tonight in college basketball. Yeah. You are a wizard at that once you start to dive in. Please feel free.
We have enough games that we can start to take a look in conference play. I'll be quick on this. Maryland tonight going up against Illinois, the number 2 most efficient defense in conference play, number 1 at defensive rebounding, number 1 at not fouling you, number 1 at chasing off the 3-point line, and number 1 defending inside the paint. Under 74.5 is a team total tonight for the Maryland Terrapins.
That's how you end it. More on the early line. Yes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line Live right here on this Thursday, rounding out our 3 hours together talking some college basketball. You just heard from Donnie Wright's side, a team total that he loves, Maryland under 74.5 as the Terps travel to the State Farm Center tonight in Champaign. Illinois, one of 2 top 25 teams in men's college hoops in action tonight, along with Memphis, who plays earlier in an AAC affair. Let's talk some women's college basketball. We haven't been checking in as much as necessary, but now as conference play picks up all around the country, let's dive in. 4th-ranked team in the nation. That would be USC, now a Big Ten team. And yesterday against Purdue, oh boy, Juju Watkins and the Trojans came through. 79-37, the Trojans covering as a 26.5-point favorite. This team is loaded this year. Juju Watkins now 20 games played for USC this season. Yesterday scoring just 16 points. She has scored 20 plus in 18 of 20 games. Kiki Ariofen, also for USC, has been balling this year. USC, a very solid team. How about Paige Beckers and Connecticut? Paige nearly had a 20-point triple-double in only 3 quarters yesterday in a rout of Villanova, but when you win a game by 43 and still hit the century mark, you don't really have to play in the final 10 minutes of regulation. UConn covered as a 29.5-point favorite. Again, Paige was like an assist shy and a rebound shy, or 2 rebounds shy of a triple-double. Still a ton of star power in women's college basketball. Juju Watkins, Paige Beckers, Haley Van Lith for TCU. But an upset yesterday. Oklahoma State outright as a 5.5-point dog against a top-10 TCU team and the Horned Frogs. Big victory for the Pokes yesterday. Now, as we look at a couple of games today, Big Ten is loaded with a ton of top 25 teams in that AP poll, including a top 15 tilt tonight in Columbus, Maryland, and Ohio State. The Buckeyes at home, number 12 in the country, nearly a double-digit favorite, 9.5-point spread. And if you want to keep the number in single digits for the moment. Ohio State is minus 120 in terms of the juice that you need to lay. Good SEC basketball as well on the women's side. Top 20 tilt in Austin, Texas, 13.5-point favorite against number 17, Tennessee. When you look at some of the numbers this year, the SEC stout, of course, in men's college basketball. Same story in women's college basketball. We were supposed to get a top five tilt on this Thursday, rescheduled for a blockbuster, a monumental matchup in prime time between second ranked South Carolina, we'll talk about that in just a moment, and number five and unbeaten, a perfect 20-0 LSU. That game in Columbia tomorrow now, postponed by one day because of the snow and the winter weather the South has seen this week. That is going to be an incredible game. LSU, again, unbeaten, perfect. 20-0 this year. No Angel Reese anymore, but Anissa Morrow has been rebounding like a fiend for Kim Mulkey and the Bayou Bengals. South Carolina, often undefeated at this stage of a college basketball season or any year under Don Staley, who just signed a new extension, by the way, to become the highest paid coach ever, I believe, in women's college basketball. Still the national championship favorites at plus 200. But the Gamecocks do have a loss this year. To who? Oh, that would be the number one team in the country, the UCLA Bruins. A 5-1 price on UCLA. Undefeated, 18-0 UCLA, who you see on the road today in Piscataway against Rutgers as a 27.5-point favorite. Again, the Bruins are perfect. They are 18-0. UCLA has won all 18 games this year. Only one of them has been decided by single digits, and that was against a top 20 Louisville team over in Paris. Lauren Betts, one of the most dominant bigs in the sport for UCLA, averaging a double-double, 20-10, nearly three blocks a game, shooting it at nearly a 62% clip from the floor. I'll tell you this. I was doing a little research, getting inspired, looking at some women's college basketball last night. I bet UCLA at a 5-1 number to win the national championship. South Carolina has the pedigree, and it is proven, rightfully so. UConn has the star in Paige Beckers. USC, and Juju Watkins are going to contend. Hannah Hidalgo and Notre Dame. But UCLA is a dominant force. I'll take that 5-1 price entering the tournament any day. Football Friday, tomorrow, the early line, 8 a.m. Eastern.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.